Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm chasing after you. Oh, God, I'm praising my way through. My God, yet will I praise him. Yet will I give him the glory. Yet will I give him the honor. Yet will I give him the praise, because he is worthy. God is worthy to be praised, and I'm still chasing after him. Is there anybody chasing after him on today? Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. You are worthy. God, there's nothing like you. Hallelujah. We lift our voice to exalt your name today. Hallelujah. You are awesome, oh God. You are a magnificent God. We love you. We love you today. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. We worship you. Hallelujah. I'm chasing after you. Hallelujah. My God, my God. I'm excited about the Lord, excited about what he's doing in my life. Amen. Welcome to the NCCM online campus. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. We welcome you to the virtual sanctuary on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. There is a word from the Lord to bless your heart today, to keep you going as you're in the middle of your day, whether you're at work, at home, whether you're in the supermarket or just chilling, whatever you're doing, just know that God has a word for you on today. So we thank you for stopping by, whether you're listening to the archives or whether you're here live. We welcome you to New Creation Christian Ministries, and we invite you to come back. Come and visit us over at 87 First Street every single Sunday and every single Wednesday night at 7:30, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We have a powerful, powerful worship experience, and we welcome you to join us here at the Virtual Sanctuary every single Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time, and every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for 1 hour, 1 hour of power. So we just thank God that we're here today. Well, I'm excited. I'm ready to hear the word. There's a powerful word coming forth on today, and I'm excited. So I pray that you feel welcome. I pray that you feel welcomed. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to play another worship song. And right after that, we will go into the preach word, because I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I'm excited, and I sense that God has something to say to us through the preach word on today. So let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. We ask that you would cover this service on today. Lord, we just are chasing after you. We know, Father God, that you, Father God, are awesome in our lives, Father God. We know that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, Father God, all-seeing, oh God. We know, Father God, that you are everywhere at one time and that you are with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Lord, I ask that you would bless each and every person assembled in the sanctuary on today. Bless each and every person under the sound of my voice. Let your word come forth like a hammer and an axe, Father God, chiseling away, Father God, what needs to be chiseled away, and Father God, building up what needs to be built up. Lord, we just thank you for the preacher on today. We ask that you would use him to your glory, Father God, that you, Father God, would speak to our hearts through the man of God. Lord, we need to hear from you on today, and we just thank you and we praise you. So, Lord, even as we worship you, Father God, through this next worship song, Father God, we prepare our hearts to hear from you. We need to hear from you. We need you, Lord. We need to hear another word from you. So, Lord, we just thank you in advance for what you're about to do. And we say, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Y'all might as well get with it.
But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. I love the word favor there in the New International Version of the Bible. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is what, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And that's so powerful as we look into this today. God gave me a title, Change is Good. Change is good. And as we look at the life of Cain and Abel, the Bible says Adam and Eve came together and they had a male child, Cain, their firstborn. And Eve said, this is a man child, God, with the help of God, I have had this boy. And then she conceived his brother, Abel, and had another son. And these are the two children of Adam and Eve. And it says during the course of time, they were beckoned by God to bring an offering to God, to show God that he's worthy of praise and glory and honor, and he's worthy of their best. So Abel brought forth the firstborn of his cattle and his livestock, and God was pleased that Abel did not hold back on God. That's the word right there for somebody. Abel gave God his best. Abel did not try to get over or get by on God. We need to know today that God knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. So what can we keep or hide from God? And Abel brought forth a good offering to God. Then his brother brings forth not his best. He kept the soil. He kept the vegetables. He kept the fruit. He kept the land. And he did not bring God his best. And God was not pleased. The Bible says that God looked at favor upon Abel's offering, but upon Cain's offering, he did not look with favor. And Cain was angry. My God. How many of us can admit that we sometimes in our lifetimes we've been totally in the wrong, yet we were upset with somebody else because we were wrong? It was totally our fault. We were totally in error. It was the mistake we should have owned up to, but we did the blame game. We blamed somebody else for our decisions. We pointed the finger at somebody else, kind of like Adam and Eve, their parents. Adam said, this is the woman you gave me. She had me to eat of the fruit of this tree, and it's Eve's fault that I erred. And Adam should have took ownership of his mistake, and Adam should have said, I repent and I forgive me, God. But we oftentimes don't fess up to what we need to confess to. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we got to, as we try to change, knowing that change is good, we got to get real with ourselves. We have to be real with ourselves, knowing that God is calling us all up to a higher standard in him. I was in my word the other day and in prayer and just going throughout my day, and I just heard God so clearly. It wasn't biblical, but God just said, step it up. Pastor, that's how he spoke to me. People of God, that's what he said to me. He said, step it up. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. He was saying, become more engaging, become more diligent, more prudent, become more serious about your walk. Do your due diligence. Become more urgent and become more immersed in me. Become more engaged with me. Become more loving. Certain characteristics of ours, God is telling us to step it up. But the first point I wanted to talk about today is that because Cain got good advice from God and was not willing to change, there was dire consequences. Because Cain refused to change, there was dire consequences. And if you are in a position in your life today and God is unctioning you, God is calling you, God is moving you to change certain things about your life, to remove certain people out of your life, to do certain things differently at this stage in your life, beloved, please try to agree with the will of God for your life. We cannot continue to walk in sin and continue to be out of the will of God, continue to want to do our own thing and still want God to bless us. It just doesn't happen that way. He told Cain, if you do right, right things will happen for you. But if you continue to go down this wrong path, you have nobody to blame but yourself. I hope I'm helping you because I'm helping myself today. If we're on the right path, stay on the right path. The Bible says narrow is the road. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Wide is the gate. The most popularity is on that wide gate. The highway is wide. There's a lot of fun and entertainment on that other road. There's a lot of playing and a lot of ungodliness on that other road. But I'm hearkening you and I'm pleading with you today to stay on the narrow road with God. He tells Cain, if you do right, good things will happen for you. But if you do wrong, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to master you. Paul says we're dead to sin. If you are still allowing sin to master you, the Bible is telling us today that we must master it. Oh, glory be to God. I pray in the name of Jesus that God is blessing you today, that God is helping you today, that God is speaking to you today. Because I don't know about you, but I want God's best. That means that there's some things I got to do, whether I like it or not. There's some things I got to agree to, whether I like it or not. There's some things that I must carry out. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. There are many people who are saying I'm a man or woman of God of faith, but God is looking at our action. The Bible says God looked at Cain's action, and he was not pleased. You did not bring me your best. And because Cain was not willing to change, we see as you read on, he slew his brother Abel out of jealousy and enviness. And God comes and says, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you should have been your brother's keeper, but you killed your brother. And here we have the first homicide. Here we have the first slaying. We have the first murder, and the killing hasn't stopped since. The shedding of blood was found right here in Genesis chapter 4, and it has not stopped since because Cain was not willing to change. And, oh, glory, you got to be willing to change. Change is good, Pastor, but change is hard. Absolutely. It is not comfortable. It's not going to be easy. We have grown fond of the way we are. We have been comfortable with who we are. Maybe that's just the way I am, and I'm not changing for anybody. Wrong. God does not like that spirit of pride. He says, humble yourself, and I'll raise you up. We got to walk in the spirit of humility, meaning we got to look in the mirror of life, and when we see that we're wrong, we got to try to do something about it. Cain did not do anything about it, and we see that he slew his brother Abel, and God was not pleased. He said, I hear your brother blood calling from me, from the ground, what have you done? And Cain was cursed from that point on. And I'm here to tell you today, if we don't get right and try to make the changes in our lives, just like Cain, there will be consequences. There will be consequences. I know we're here to exhort you. We're here to edify you. But we love to give you the truth. My wife and I, one reason God called us is we're just going to lay it out there. I believe in three principles: choice, change, and commitment. I had to make many choices years ago. I gave my life over to Christ when I was 30 years old. I just turned 49. So for 19 years, almost two decades, I've been trying to serve God. And back in 19, I forgot what year it was, but I said, yes, Lord. We were in a meeting on this weekend, and I heard women crying out, yes, Lord. Women wailing out, yes, Lord. Women finally saying, God, I give up. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. I remember our old pastor, Bishop Hillier, used to just yell out, yes, Lord. And he had this big booming voice. And he just used to sing, yes, Lord. And that's got to be our confession today. Yes, Lord. Whatever God is saying to you, just say, yes, Lord. Don't negotiate it. Don't talk about it. Don't discuss it. Just say, yes, Lord. Cain should have just said, yes, God, my bad. I'm going to do better next time. But no, he got jealous of his brother who found favor with God. And that leads me to my next point. Sin will stop you if you don't stop it. The Bible says, sin crouches at the door to master us, but we must master it. A brother called me today, and this brother's fighting for his life, fighting to be free from addiction, fighting to get his life right, fighting to change. And I get calls like that all the time. There's some men and women of God who are out here really trying to change, really trying to turn over a new leaf, really trying to do better. They want to be better fathers to their children. They want to pay child support and undo some of the mistakes they made as fathers and mothers. There are some people out here that want to stay employed now. They want their own apartment and their own car. And they own means of making a living for themselves. They don't want to live off of people anymore. There's some people out here who want to serve God in ministry. They want to do the right thing. And that's where it starts, with the desire to change. And sometimes the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that 12th chapter, we have a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily beset us, meaning it gets us off our course. And don't be entangled with the things of this world. And that Hebrews chapter 12 is followed by what we call the faith chapter. All those people in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses and Abel, the one we're talking about today, harlot, I can't think of her name, Rahab, who was a prostitute, had faith. So many people, Abraham and Sarah, and Gideon and Samson, all these people of faith. The Hebrew writer said, we have a cloud before us. It's not like you and I can't look into our word and see so many people of faith who had wonderful outcomes with God, who stayed the course to their dying days, who did not see the promise or experience it, but saw it afar off. And let me just tell you, there's a crown waiting for you. Don't let no one take your crown. There's a mansion. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's a mansion waiting for you. Don't let the cares of this world, don't let the enticement and lust of this world draw you back to the things of this world. I went to a church service on Saturday, and the man of God said, don't resurrect Pharaoh. In other words, Pharaoh was killed by God, drowned in the Red Sea, and he was saying, as the people of Israel got away from Pharaoh, don't resurrect him. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to the one that enslaved you. And that's what God is saying to you and I today. Change is good. When you try to change and do better, God will help us. That's why the Bible says he knows the intent and motives and agenda of our hearts. Pastor preached on Sunday how we got to be translated and transformed. The Bible says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Without conviction, hear God, there can be no change. That's my point number three. Without conviction, there can be no change. People think Pastor Rebecca and myself just ask people to go to church because we're pastors and we want people to go to church because we love church and we go to church and we get a lot out of church. But no, we tell you to go to church because you can be convicted in church. There are not too many places that we can go in life where we get convicted by the word of God. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? Beautiful are the feet of the preacher who shares the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're not in church, sitting up under a word, you're not going to be convicted enough to change. And too many Christians are staying home every Sunday. Too many Christians are finding themselves out of fellowship, although he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Too many believers are lone rangers in our day because they got a prophecy over their life to be a prophet or to be an apostle or to be an evangelist. And they're saying, I don't need the church anymore because I have this call on my life. The devil is a liar. We are the body of Christ. Try to separate your arm from your body right now. Or try to do without your feet right now. Try to do without your legs right now from your physical body. It's not happening. And God is saying to you and I today, when we change, that change is good. Without conviction, you are not going to change. There were things I was caught up in before I got saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled and born again. And I had a little guilt trip because I got caught. But when you have conviction, not just preference, not just because you got caught, but when you have a conviction in your heart, because the Holy Ghost now dwells and lives on the inside of you, and the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and when that Spirit begins to deal with you and speak to you and try to unction you to do right by God, just go ahead, listen to that still small voice. God, I need to just go ahead and apologize to my wife. I just need to go ahead and apologize to my husband. I need to repent and just have a sit down with my children. I did some undermining things at work, and God, I'm sorry. I just need to make a wrong right. That still small voice that speaks to you and I is on the inside of you. And listen to that voice. My wife is just a wonderful inspiration to my life. She don't even know how she inspires me. But when I think of her journey from welfare to Wall Street, being a high school dropout, a teenage mother, now I see young mothers asking her, and she gleaming wisdom to them. Our own children, our biological children, a couple of them are going through in this season in their lives, and my wife is speaking with so much wisdom. Even concerning one of our sons yesterday, I had to step back and listen to my wife because I was thinking one way of how to handle and discipline to a certain degree one of our sons, and she just shed more insight on it. She gave more godly advice on it. She gave me a whole nother scenario and a whole nother perspective of looking at it, and I agreed with her perspective. That's why I say you can't be prideful thinking you know everything. We parent our children and our grandchildren together. We bounce ideas off each other. We run stuff by each other. Sometimes you need a pastor to go to run stuff by. You need godly counsel. And let me just say this. God just gonna put me out here. If you get good advice, take heed to that advice. God was trying to tell Cain, listen, you made a mistake. I don't even know if it was a mistake, but if it was intentional, either way, change what you're doing. And Cain did not take that advice from God. And sometimes the preach word convicts us. We're so convicted as we sit in church. We get out the door of the church. We have this thing in our spirit to change and do better. We're so convicted as we read our word and pray. We're so convicted as we see others prospering and moving along in the things of God. And we know we should be further in the things of God. And we get convicted, and it's just for a season. That's why you got to allow this word to be poured into you day and night. The Bible says meditate on the word day and night. Don't look to the left and the right, and you'll have good success. Allow the word. Separate yourself from negative people, Psalms chapter 1. Move the sin out of your life. Move yourself away from mockers and negative people. And the Bible says you'll be like a tree planted near streams of living water. And whatsoever your hands will do will prosper. Don't be double-minded. The Bible is speaking to you and I today that change is good when you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the principles my wife and I strongly believe in, that if you are a man and woman in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new in your life. But guess what? That's a process. It just doesn't magically happen. It just doesn't fall out of the sky. It just doesn't happen by circumstance. God is saying, now that you know you're new, begin to walk that thing out and live it out. Begin to add the process of God to your life. Work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, God says, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That prosperity comes with your spirit, with your body, and with natural things. That kind of prosperity comes when we change. And God is always working on us. My wife went to Jeremiah 18 the other day, and he told the prophet Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And the potter had that little mold on the wheel, and he made it, and it wasn't what he thought it should be. It wasn't the kind of shape and form he thought it should be. And the Bible says he just took it on back down. He just melted everything back down and started over again. And that's what God is saying to you and I today. I need to start over with you. I molded you. I shaped you. But we need to go back to the drawing board. There's some things in your life that I need you to check. There's some things in your life that I need you to remove. There's some ways that you have. There's some habits that you need to break. There's a way of thinking that I'm trying to challenge at this stage in your life. And God is saying we can turn around this curse of divorce, where even in the church there's over 50% divorce rate. We can turn around this high school dropout rate with our children. They're looking for leaders. They're looking for parents that can parent. Sometimes our parents are acting like children. Sometimes our parents, you hear their conversation and you hear their level of maturity, and sometimes you see children raising children. And God is saying, I have so much wisdom that's found in me. I have so much knowledge and understanding if you will come to me and pray to me. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who freely gives wisdom, and he'll give you all the wisdom that you need. See, many, many of us, we don't understand. We can't play God. We can play each other all day, but we cannot play God. And God is speaking to us today. He's taking me down roads I didn't even think I was going down today. But I know that God gives me the words that come out of my mouth. So I know I'm speaking prophetically, futuristically to some people. You know that if you change today, on this September 12th day, as you move forward with 2012 going into 2013, you know that God has your latter days being greater than your former days. But there's some things he's calling you to do. And finally, as I close this out, knowing that change is good, God is saying just that last point I made, that your latter days are greater than your former days. A brother called me last night, and he's been asked by his pastor to lead the men's ministry, and he said, how do you minister to men? And I told him, when it's just me and men, I get a little more transparent, and I show them my life before Christ and my life after Christ. This is my second marriage. In my first marriage, I was not a Christian. But now that I'm married, being saved, me and my wife have been able to get through some things that I know we wouldn't have gotten through if I wasn't saved. There's a way I conduct myself today, because now that I have Christ, I have the capacity to put down things that my natural inclinations would normally go toward. There's some ways that I had, ways of thinking, ways of behavior. There's some generational things that made its way down into my life that now I have power over. Guess what? Because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me. And because God is no respecter of persons, I don't care if everybody in your family is an alcoholic or drunk. I don't care if nobody in your family stays married. I don't care if anybody in your family can't keep a job or anybody dropped out of high school. I don't care if there's a cancer heritage or sugar diabetes or heart disease that run in your family. The curse is broken. Because the blood of Jesus covers everything now. We need to stop living like we're cursed and start living like we're blessed. Because every curse, every generational curse, everything that people try to do to you, every weapon that's formed against you cannot prosper because you now belong to God. He says he'll hide you in the shelter of the Most High. 1,000 will fall at your left, 10,000 will fall at your right, but no harm will come near you. That's why we got to stay connected to Jesus. We got to stay connected to the church. We got to stay connected to the things of God. We got to abide, allow that word to abide in us, and we abide in Christ. And the Bible says we'll bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We'll bear much fruit. God is calling for you and I to be productive. He's calling for you and I to be prosperous. There's a call on our lives to be successful in every area of life. And I wish I had time to go into it, but trust me, it's worth the wait. Some of us have been doing the right things. We've been praying. We've been tithing. We've been believing God. We've been going to church. We've been helping. We've been serving. We have been giving. Some of us have been doing the right things. And I wish I had time to go into it, but don't be oblivious to the obvious. The fact that you have certain desires now, the fact that you have a certain mindset now, the fact that you have made progress in certain areas of your life shows that God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And the devil is that other person lying in your ear. Look, your marriage still going through. Look, you still don't have a job. Look, you still don't have a man. You still don't have any children. The devil is a liar. He shows us everything that's wrong with our lives. God still has not removed the cancer. God still ain't healed your body. God still ain't put no money in your bank account. He shows us all the things, all the negative things that we think we're praying to God for. Your church still is not growing. You're still having strongholds and certain familiar spirits that you're struggling with. The devil is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Put your mind on Jesus. Put your mind toward heavenly things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are trustworthy, whatsoever things are of a good report, focus, concentrate, meditate on good things. That's why the Bible says change is good. I used to be a negative person. Now I'm a positive person. And that's why this young man called me today. He said, you're one of my positive outlets. He know that when he called my phone and when I answer the other end, I'm being optimistic. I'm being hopeful. I'm cheering him on. I'm saying, you can do it. I believe in you. Believe in yourself. I'm telling him, God's not done with you yet. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. And I'm telling you the same thing, beloved. God did not bring you this far to leave you. He's with you. He's upon you. He's in you. Where can we go? Psalm 139 says, where can we go? To the depths of the sea, he's there. To the depths of hell, he's there. To the highest mountain, he's there. To the furthest part of the sea, he's there. Where can we go to escape God? He's everywhere. Ask Jonah the prophet. You can't run from God, so you might as well give in to God. So change is good. Pastor, I hear you today. You speaking to me. Change is good, Pastor Simmons, but it's hard. Absolutely. That's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You can't do it by yourself. I tell people all the time how many times I tried to change on my own. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. You need the power of God. Acts 1:8 said the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will have power. Deuteronomy 8, I've given you the ability to get wealth. That's how you're going to get that six-figure income. That's how you're going to get the wealth and the custom-built home and a nice car to drive and put away a heritage for your children. That's how you're going to have so much money, too much for you to count, because he has given you the ability to get wealth. We need to even stop asking how, God, and why, and when. Just know that you have the ability to get wealth. Me and my wife are to the place We're to the point where he's showing us so much wealth and so much money, and we don't know how it's going to come, but when we get it and possess it, we're going to give God the glory. Glory be to God. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know when it's coming, but he keeps showing us, and we are in agreement with what he's showing us. He's showing us prosperity in every area of life. He's showing us wealth beyond our wildest imagination. He's showing us abundance, and all we're saying is, yes, Lord. Stop trying to figure God out, because we can't. Pastor, I'm done. But change is good. And I'm so glad that as we go into 17 years of marriage, and I've been employed for over 25 years, and God has allowed me to provide and take care of my family, and we've been pastoring the church for almost 7 years. And I tell you, when you serve God, he just continues to bless you. So if God spoke to you today, be willing to make the necessary changes so that you can line up with his perfect will and not just his permissive will. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor, are you there?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for that word. Amen. What a powerful word. Change is good. My God. Hallelujah. I feel my change coming now. Amen. God just has such a wonderful plan for our lives, Pastor, and just so powerful. Hallelujah. How you talked about Cain and Abel and how Abel did the right thing. And God told Cain, no use in being jealous over Abel. If you do the right thing, then good things will happen to you too. Hallelujah. That's just so powerful that God has a plan. As he said in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. And God is saying if we just line up with his plan, that good things will happen to us. That's just so powerful how scripture comes together. What God tells us, he sets before us life and death. And he tells us, he sets before us blessings and curses. And he tells us to choose life. Hallelujah. And as we choose life, that good things will happen to us. I'm telling you, there's so much consistent in the word of God where he says, Jesus said he loved the world, that God loved the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we would not perish but have eternal life. And that's some more good things happening to us. God just has so much good in store for you. You got to hear God on today. That word is just so powerful. And all God is asking us to do is line up with his word. All he's asking us to do is be willing to change, be willing to get rid of some of the stinking stuff that's holding us back. He said, lay aside the weight that so easily besets you. Pastor, I'm telling you, if we would just be willing to lay aside the weight of that bad attitude, lay aside the weight of that temper that we have. We some of us are so quick to lose our temper, and God is saying, no, I need a sweet spirit. I need you to have a sweet spirit. My God, and God is trying to prune us. Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine. He said, my Father is the gardener. And he said, my Father wants to prune you. He wants to take away all that stuff that's not like him. He wants to take away all the stuff that's not fruitful in your life. And that's what God wants to do to us today. He wants to take away all of that stuff that is not fruitful in our lives, and we just got to be willing. My God, Pastor, you talked about the women on Saturday when we went to that service over in Linden on Saturday where the women were saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, and that's all God is asking for is a yes, Lord. And, you know, it's not just about salvation. God just doesn't want us to be saved, but he wants us to be sanctified. My God. My God, like you said, that is a true word. That's a sure word from God that God wants us to be sanctified. What a powerful word. And I know that the people in the sanctuary are receiving that word on today because I'm receiving it for myself. Just a great word. God wants only the best for us. God only wants the best for us. So you have exhorted us on today to receive God's best. If somebody out there, you need to be saved. You haven't even taken the first step, and God wants you to take the first step and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he loved the world so much, God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that whomsoever would believe would not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life, abundant life. Jesus himself said the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come so that you might have life and have that life to the fullest, have that life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I want that abundant life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted, or broken, busted, and disgusted. I know that I said yes to God, and he has changed my life. Pastor Anthony said yes to the Lord. He has changed his life, and today is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord, and not only to say yes to the Lord, but to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm ready to choose, change, and commit to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Anthony, if you would just pray for those who need to be saved. Amen. And then just pray for those who have a yes, Lord, in their spirit on today. They've been holding back. They got some attitude problems. They got some issues. Amen. But they need to put them on the altar today. And I just ask those of you in the listening audience, those of you in the congregation, to just put it on the altar, whether you're getting saved or whether you're coming to God and saying, God, sanctify me. Take some of this mess off of me. I need to lay aside this weight that's so easily beset me. So, Pastor, if you would just pray for those who are here on today, those whose hearts are ready and prepared to receive prayer on today.
Yes, yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. This is your day you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Now, Father God, we know that you called us to work our own salvation with fear and trembling. We know, Lord, that he who has begun a good work in us shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we want to come into agreement with you as you begin to work on our lives. Give us a total makeover in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to change the way we think. Help us to lay down sin, Lord. Help us to become obedient and go to church and do the things of God. Help us, Lord, to pray without ceasing. The spiritual things that we need to become part of our daily living, Lord. We need help today. So we pray, Lord, for those right now standing in the need of prayer. That person, Lord, that has never given their life to Christ, right now we pray that as they confess with their mouth that you are Lord, Jesus is Lord, and as they believe in their heart that you are the Son of the living God, your word says that they will be saved. So right now, Lord, as we touch and agree with them, as they repent of their sins and they ask God for forgiveness, Lord, thank you for welcoming them right now to the body of Christ. And, Lord, those who are on this line who says, I am called by this word today that change is good. I'm afraid to change. I'm afraid to live life without getting high or getting drunk. I'm afraid to stop shacking, or I'm afraid to try to live a holy life for God. And God is saying, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That's me. That's me calling you. So, Lord, allow us to lay down fear today. Allow us to lay down that spirit of intimidation. God, you said you will provide all of our needs according to your riches through Christ Jesus. Let us not lean on the arm of man or flesh anymore. We need to come to God. So, Lord, help that person, even in the area of money, to trust you for a job and to trust you to be their only source in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, that person, whether they're not valuing themselves, that person that struggles in the area of immorality and Father God, values, we thank you in the name of Jesus that they're going to begin to walk circumspectly to the call of God that's on their life. So, Lord, we thank you. As you seal this prayer, we touch and agree, Lord, that they have power to live out the scriptures. They have power to be different from the world that they live in. They have power, Lord, to walk according to your will, because the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that they are blessed and highly favored. I thank you that they will be prosperous in good health as they so prosper. I thank you, Lord, that we are the sons and daughters of God, and no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that prayer, Pastor Anthony, and thank you for that word. Wow. I tell you, God is just so good. We are about to go down from this place. We want to make an appeal to you to partner with us. Amen. This is an awesome ministry. We have the ministry over at 87 First Street and also the ministry that we do online. And if you like what we're doing and you want to partner with us, we ask that you pray and ask God, how can you be a blessing to this ministry? And then go ahead and sow a seed into this ministry. Some of you might want to set your calendars to sow a monthly seed. into this ministry to sow a $25 seed, one-time seed, or even every single month to sow a seed, to sow a $10 seed today or once a month. We just ask you to partner with us. Ask the Lord what it is that he would have you to do to partner with us. You could sow $100 seed a month. Whatever the Lord tells you, we're not going to tell you what to sow. We ask you to go before God and say, God, how can I be a blessing to this ministry? And you can sow by going over to our website at nccmonline.org or sending a check to New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we thank God for those who have already sown. We thank God for your seed. I'm going to pray over your seed and also invite you to come out and worship with us again every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. and every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. for an awesome time in the Lord. And we're here online at Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. and then every Wednesday at 12 noon. I want to say God bless you to my mother, Mother May Thomas. God bless you, Mom. I see you in the sanctuary today. I love you. I miss you. The church family loves you, and we just are so thankful for you, Mother, standing in the gap with us and praying for and with us. We love you. Amen. And we thank God for you. We pray for you down there in Florida. Amen. So we're going to go down from this place. We have a women's conference coming up. Woman power. The theme this year is warriors on the front line. Woman power, warriors on the front line. And the dates are October the 12th through the 14th. Low and all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37 is the scripture, and we're going to be going before the Lord. It's going to be powerful. So we just ask that you go over to our website, nccmonline.org, and register today. It's free, no registration fee. Register today to be a part of that conference. Powerful preachers, powerful presentations, powerful workshops, powerful praise and worship is going to be powerful. So God bless you. Pastor Emily, if you would just give us the benediction, we will go down from this place.
Now unto him was able to keep us from falling, the all-wise God, all power, all dominion, all authority given unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the peace of God be with you and go with you and dwell in your home. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. This world did not give us the joy that we have, and nothing in this world can take it away. And the love of God, the agape, unconditional love that he has for us, be yours hence now and forevermore, and share that love with other people. Go in peace and serve your God.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all. searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their own gift.